This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Madeline Brand.
I'm Alex Chadwick. 8 years ago, the U.S. government agreed to help thousands of Bantu refugees from Somalia settle in this country. And one town, Lewiston, Maine, has welcomed 500 Bantus. They had hoped to leave their troubles behind. Some say there's still friction with other Somalis also living in Lewiston.
Reporter Jean Barron met one Bantu college student in Lewiston who believes communication can help ease those tensions. He's working to compile what he hopes will be one of the first written dictionaries of the Bantu language.
In a quiet public housing complex on the outskirts of Lewiston, Maine, 29-year-old Sheikh Mohammed is watching over his two daughters.
The little sister is not listening.
Mohammed is a squarely built young father with warm eyes and close-cut hair. When he was 14, those eyes witnessed the death of his father, shot to death during the civil unrest in Somalia. Mohammed is speaking Maymay to his brightly dressed daughters. Maymay is the stigmatized language of the Bantu, and it barely exists in written form. While his daughters play, Mohammed is thumbing through a loose-leaf stack of papers with about 400 Maymay words. It's the beginning of a dictionary he's helping put together, one of several efforts around the country. Mohammed says if the Bantu can document their language, they can write their own history.
Yeah, basically, this is very important. It makes identity, our identity, because in U.S., people just saw us like Somalis. We are totally different.
As the descendant of slaves, Mohammed and other Bantus faced discrimination and had little access to education in Somalia. Mohammed was part of a wave of refugees escaping warlords who massacred Bantu farmers, like Mohammed's father, for their stocks of food. He went to the first grade as a teenager after he found his way to a refugee camp. A fast learner, Mohammed reads several languages today, and he's working toward a degree in the sciences. But he says for many Bantus, the legacy of persecution continues. He says some are even afraid to tell Somali interpreters that they don't understand them.
You know, the people just can't say that I speak Maymay. They can't say with the presence of Somalis. You know, they are still frightened. Back home there, everybody can do what he feels like. They abuse you. Every day they sue you. They deny your rights. You know, our people are just submissive.
But Mohammed says he's not afraid, not since he watched a brother and sister die of thirst in Somalia, unable to reach water supplies because of hostile Somali forces.
I'm just brave. You know, my little brother was killed. They just refused for us to go to the water points. So my little brother died because of thirst and hunger. So since that time, I just understand death is nothing.
Mohammed has been among a handful of Somali Bantus advocating for Maymay translators in schools and health clinics.
It's a completely new phenomenon.
Anthropologist Catherine Besteman says the Bantu are beginning to respond to the American ethic of equality.
An important part of starting a new life in this country is reestablishing or renegotiating the basic conditions of who they are and what their rights are. And I think that there is a widespread recognition that civil rights are universal here.
Linguists say Maymay differs from Somalia's official language called Maha, much as French differs from Italian. Hospital and school officials in Maine have begun to hear complaints that they need more Maymay interpreters. But many in the larger Somali community, like Sayed Mohammed, dismiss the complaints. Sayed Mohammed owns a convenience store that caters to the African community. He says his mother is Bantu, and he believes the Somali community in Lewiston should resist cultural division.
In Somalia, it is a kind of division. It's a kind of tribalism. It is not possible for every, you know, immigrant community here to have their own specific thinkers.
Sayed Mohammed says now that they are in the U.S., the difference between Somali and Bantu doesn't matter anymore, and there's no discrimination against the Bantu here. But Sheikh Mohammed tells this story. At Walmart, his managers asked him to help two Somali customers, but they refused his help. In the U.S., Mohammed could walk away without fearing for his life. For NPR News, I'm Jean Barron.